going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Browns drafted Shedeur Sanders. Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Have you heard about this? And 6 other guys. I assure you, this is the most we've ever talked about a fifth-round pick to lead the post draft recap. And to continue that conversation, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's been with us all draft season long, nailing it every Monday at 4, NFL draft college football analyst for A to Z Sports, host of the Ruffino and Joe show, the great Joe DeLeon joins us. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, but definitely better than Browns fans and you guys trying to navigate the craziness. In all seriousness, and serious question, could there have been a more dramatic weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, for this draft? You traded away the chance to take the most prolific player that we've ever seen, a corner and receiver, and Travis Hunter, and then you take Shedeur Sanders later on. I'm blown away that the Browns managed to command the headlines the way that they did this weekend.
I mean, this is kind of par for the course for us.
Yeah,
buddy.
This is like standard. You've just seen our Thursday through Monday, Joe. Congratulations.
It's not the Cleveland Super Bowl for nothing, Joe.
Fair point.
All right, so let's start big picture. How do you feel about the Browns draft in general?
I think that, like, I've been thinking about this all day in anticipation for this spot. I can't really wrap my head around it entirely, because if I just look at it from like a 50-foot view and I just look at it on a piece of paper, I see a really good draft class. I see you getting one of the best defensive tackles that have come out in the last 5 years in Mason Graham, who has the potential to be as disruptive as Aaron Donald. That is his ceiling. And I've said that many times during this pre-draft process. He's extremely gifted. Carson Schwessinger is a great athlete, the linebacker from UCLA. His eyes are a little inconsistent, but he's a former walk-on who has gotten better year over year. He could be one of your better defenders in a couple of seasons. Quinshon Judkins fits the exact identity. You're getting an Ohio State guy. You're going to be able to lean on him in the run game, and you pair him with Dylan Sampson, who plays off of him so well as a space killer with great pickup speed. Last one that I really liked, Harold Fannin, was a really nice selection that they had out of Bowling Green. The value that they got with him picking him in the third round is pretty strong. And he's a guy that you can use as a really quality second tight end alongside David Njoku, who you can rotate, you can move him all over your offense, you can line him up in different orientations and create confusion for opposing defenses. But we have to talk about the fact that the Browns traded out of a spot to take Travis Hunter, and you now have a lot of pressure on that pick that you're getting from the Jaguars. Assuming they don't make the playoffs, you better hope that that pick next year ends up turning out to be a quality starter, and Mason Graham lives up to the hype and doesn't need to be as good as Travis Hunter, but he better be a really, really impactful player, a Pro Bowler. Otherwise, you just traded away a chance to have one of the most highly talked about guys for the next decade. And then, of course, there's the Shedeur Sanders drama of taking two quarterbacks, which is just beyond perplexing and confusing. I know that this is something that we're going to probably hear about and talk about and break down the entire offseason. But those two things take away a little bit for me what could have been an amazing draft class for the Browns.
You are our draft expert, and you are the draft community in my mind. You and your friends, your draft community friends. How do you guys explain what happened with Shedeur? Is it just a matter of being so far off with your evaluation relative to the NFL and the people that actually make the decision, or is there more at play here, Joe?
I think that there's more at play. I find it very, very hard to believe that the NFL was this low on him compared to every single draft analyst, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, Dean Brugler. Everybody was in agreement on Shedeur Sanders that he wasn't, except for Mel Kiper, who thought that he should have been the first quarterback taken. Everybody kind of thought he was worthy of going in the first round this year because the quarterback class was bad. And I think that the NFL looked at him in the same light as they looked at Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, those two guys that had some upside, but if they don't pan out, they end up being really good backups. I think that the projection was a player who could contribute, could take over the starting role, like a Kirk Cousins type of a player, a Derek Carr, a Jimmy Garoppolo, those types of prospects. And at the very least, if they're not capable starters, you end up having one of the better backups in the league. I think that that is how the NFL viewed him. And there was a general consensus across the board that that's how it was. Maybe you move up and you take him somewhere in the first round because there's just so much scarcity at the position this year. You need some type of a solution. I think he fell as far as he did, and we've seen this happen many times over with quarterbacks or just players in general who weren't starting caliber and were distractions. I think that NFL teams not only were rubbed the wrong way by him in some meetings, I believe some of the rumors that have come out, the way that he came off, I think that they might have actually done it deliberately to sway some teams away, but it blew up in their face. And I don't think teams wanted to have to deal with the constant headlines for a guy that is going to be their backup quarterback. The last part about this, and something that I've been thinking about that it really does, I believe, factor into this, these pre-draft meetings, you're trying to see how a guy is going to handle under pressure. You're trying to crack them. If you're interviewing for a very intense job in an intense field, they will do this to you because they want to know, can you handle everything that is going to be on your shoulders? I can't think of, or let me rephrase, I don't imagine that anybody since high school, anyone has yelled at Shedeur Sanders that is not his dad. His dad was his coach in high school, at Jackson State, at Colorado. And I think NFL teams are uncertain if he can handle not having his dad there to protect him, not having his dad to protect him in the media rooms after games. I think all of these things prevented teams from just saying, we don't want to, this is too much of a headache, we're wasting too much energy on this, we are just going to move on, we're going to take somebody else.
Joe DeLeon on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joe, I hated the Dylan Gabriel pick. Still don't care for it much. What are the Browns getting in the left-handed Oregon geriatric quarterback?
I actually was a decent fan of Gabriel, and for where you took him at the end of the third round, it was a little earlier than I was comfortable with. But I thought that Dylan Gabriel was the type of guy that could stick on an NFL roster for a very long time as a backup. I think that his arm is stronger than people realize. And then you see small, compact guy that kind of roams around in the pocket the way that he does. You're assuming it's going to be a player who can't generate any force with the ball. But he can sling it better than people anticipate. He's got some pretty good touch timing with his throws. I just think now, outside of like his talent, which made him a great backup, I have no idea if he makes the roster. I don't think that there's any value in keeping two quarterbacks. I wonder if maybe this is a guy, if he does really well in the preseason, if somebody doesn't go and trade for him. And if I'm Dylan Gabriel, I'm just putting my head down. I'm going to work. I am avoiding the distractions, and I'm hoping that that happens. But I agree with you. I didn't love the pick for the Browns quarterback needs because right now you've got a bunch of backup quarterbacks, so you're just throwing another backup into the mix. And now you have this weird, awkward, uncomfortable situation between him and Shedeur Sanders.
Joe, when the Buckeyes got ready to take on Tennessee in the playoff game, Dylan Sampson was the highlighted player to a high, high level. Like, Nico is obviously a highly projected quarterback, you know, for this upcoming year's class in 2026, but no one was scared of Nico. Everyone was scared of Dylan Sampson, SEC Offensive Player of the Year. His numbers speak for himself. What about him, though, did people feel would translate and then wouldn't translate that ended up having him go in the fourth round?
Yeah, what doesn't translate, first of all, is just the simple nature of the offense he was playing in. When you pull up his tape, he's running through these dump truck-sized lanes that Josh Heupel schemed up, and he's brilliant at creating these big, massive rushing lanes, and that was why Samson was so productive this year. But Samson's athleticism, his speed, his acceleration helped him take advantage of that. I think that there's some concerns of what his vision is like. I think there's some concerns of his just overall ability to withstand contact. We saw him go down in the college football playoff game against Ohio State that you just mentioned there. I think for his value towards the middle end of the fourth round where he went is perfect for him. And most importantly, him being paired with Quinshon Judkins is great. So the Browns here are getting a guy that they can throw screen passes to, that they can throw swing routes to, bring him in on third down. Early downs, you can run a lot of outside rushing concepts with him and try and get him into space to get picking up speed and break away. Having the bruiser and Quinshon Judkins, and then now having the speedster to play off it, I think both these guys could be tremendously productive in the next 4 or 5 years for the Browns.
Joe, looking kind of across the board here with all seven picks there, if you could redraft one spot from who they took to who went like right after them, is there an obvious pick that you would point out and say, like for instance, Charles Grant instead of Dylan Gabriel? Not that I have one specifically.
I'm a very big Charles Grant fan, by the way. I really, really love Charles Grant. I think that he is going to go on to become a developmental high upside starter. He is so fluid. He is so easy moving. I think that he has some of the most unique abilities, and I think that that is a very good one to bring up, that you passed up on him to take Dylan Gabriel. You could have had a development offensive lineman with offensive line questions for the future. There's two guys that come up with the Harold Fannin pick. I think Fannin was a fine player, but when you already have David Njoku, the fact that you're passing up on Azariah Thomas or Siobhan Revelle at corner, I know corner is not like a huge, huge need for this team, but Siobhan Revelle, if it wasn't for an injury that he suffered this year and him playing at a lower level, he has the potential to become a Pro Bowl caliber player. He is unbelievably gifted. He's got some rare movement skills. He is so fluid and easy moving. And then the other, looking at the receivers that ended up coming off the board after that pick, I'm a little bit perplexed that you end up going with Harold Fannin and you don't take a swing on a Jalen Knoll from Iowa State. I think that you would have gotten much more production and impact out of a guy who would have started for you in the slot, who would have, especially after passing up on Hunter early on, you get a guy who's very similar to Steve Smith, very physical, likes contact, is going to always come down with the football instead of trying to figure out ways to get a second tight end onto the field. They better be willing to get Harold Fannin in there often. Otherwise, there's a couple of receivers, including Knoll, that make me scratch my head why they passed up on him.
What are your thoughts about taking off-ball linebackers at 33 overall?
I don't mind it. There were actually some rumblings that Schwesinger was capable of going in the first round. There is a lot to like with this kid. And him coming from being a former walk-on to making the jump and flying all over the field, if he went to the combine, we would have been freaking out. The draft analysts like myself would have been oohing and aahing at the crazy numbers he would have put up. I think that that's where you typically should take a linebacker. I think that the modern era, you shouldn't take a linebacker in the first round unless they are a Jahad Campbell type, where they are just insanely, insanely athletic and they're a wrecking ball and they're a game changer. But I think that where they took Schwesinger, it is a smart spot, especially needing to find a little bit more athleticism and a little bit more youth at that position.
All right, Joe, looking around the NFL here, looking around the AFC North, what do you think? Actually, let's go to the AFC North specifically. What do you think of the drafts of the three other teams in the AFC North, Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think that consistently we always talk about every single year the Baltimore Ravens managing to completely rob everybody that they're going up against in these drafts. Them landing Malachi Starks is very scary. It was one of my favorite picks of this draft that he ended up with the Ravens. Him playing alongside Kyle Hamilton is going to create the craziest and most cerebral, dynamic safety duo in the NFL. And then them landing Mike Green and kind of bypassing some of those character concerns and getting great value because he slid as far as he did in the second round at pick 27 was a really good spot. I thought that the Steelers draft class was good, minus the fact that they were stupid in not trying to go after some sort of a quarterback early. It seems like, and from what I've heard, they believe that they can get Rodgers to sign, or they're going to try and trade for Kirk Cousins. If not, they are in a very, very tough situation. But Derek Carmen is such a Steelers pick. He can play either nose for them. He can play in that 3-4 defensive end role for them. Caleb Johnson is going to be super productive. And then offense, another player that just feels like a Pittsburgh Steeler. And then the Bengals, I thought, just did a really good job of understanding their identity at the current moment. They understood that their defense is a liability, so they just grabbed as many athletes as possible to fill in those needs. Shamar Stewart, freak athlete, awful production in college, didn't get molded by Al Golden and turned into a more better player. Demetrius Knight, older linebacker prospect, but he flies all over the field. He had unreal testing numbers and is just like a throwback middle linebacker who's just going to blast you at the line of scrimmage if you get in his way. And then lastly, Barrett Carter, who's another linebacker that they took. They just needed athletes, and they were able to accomplish that. I think that this year, more than any year, all the draft classes for most teams were kind of like in that B range, and I think the same could be said for most of these AFC North teams.
Have you already got your 20?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
26 class published and figured out and all ready to go.
We published this morning on the A to Z Film Room channel a 2026 mock draft. So yes, we are already ahead, and I'll give you guys a little bit of juice here. So last year, I predicted Cam Ward was going to be the first overall pick at the end of April. I said that immediately after the draft ended. My pick this year, I think Cade Klubnik's Clemson is going to be next year's first overall pick. I really, really think that he's got the goods. He's playing for a premier program. Clemson's going to be in the national championship hunt this year. And he's got that processing and five-star talent. If he takes a step forward with a good offensive coordinator and good receivers, could have an amazing, amazing year.
I mean, Clemson orange to brown and orange. The transition's pretty simple there. Joe, you've killed it all draft season long with us, buddy. You've been consistent. You've never shirked on us. Every Monday, 4 o'clock, you've killed it, as you always do. Just want to say one more time how great you've been, how much we appreciate your time over the last 4 months, buddy.
Of course, it means a lot, guys, and I'm glad that we got to do this every single week. It's always been something I look forward to, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with the Browns here. There's plenty of potential, and hopefully this year ends up being a promising one, and maybe next draft cycle when you guys book me again, hopefully we're talking about turning into a playoff team rather than picking first overall.
We'll see. Joe, appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
I love the spin, but I mean, at this point, well, I'm kind of hoping
he's going to open Shador. Clearly,
until Shador, Dylan Gabriel pull the sword from the stone, I want that number one pick, be it Cade Klubnik, Lenora Sellers, or any other quarterback. Joe Daly on there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about the Browns draft class. Are the Browns more the winners or the losers of this draft? That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I look at this year as a poison pill. That said, a year from now, you might be replacing four of your five guys on the offensive line. Maybe five if DeJuan Jones can't.
If DeJuan isn't good, yeah.
Yeah, can't keep some weight off him. So that's a real concern for me. And so I thought this year, like, because you didn't take another developmental guy this year, it's Luke Whippler, Cohen, the kid from Miami, who I don't remember if we saw at all last year, and Zach Zinter.
Who we hated last year.
Yeah, one of those three
guys.
Was
awful last year.
One of those three guys better show up this year and give you at least one other guy to kind of throw out there every day.
And Zach Zinter right now is holding on to the idea that you just hired, basically a clown as far as your offensive line coach.
Well, and here's the real concern. I don't know that Zach was drafted in the principles that you've been drafting guys for several years, which is the wide zone, because Andy Dickerson, may his career rest in pieces. That's not what he was trying to. So they weren't drafting for the same purpose. So now I don't even know if Zach Zinter fits what you want to do.
No, but it is interesting because my immediate thought when it was all, when the dust had settled was, oh boy, this offensive line is going to be interesting moving forward.
That's it. But that being said, I like the draft. Like, I think if you look
at the draft too.
Well, I think,
but that's why it made it so confusing, though.
I think
with like getting guys for next year's, it made it so confusing because I don't know what they're going to try to be. I really don't. Like, I don't think this is you said the poison pill year. It was headed in that direction up until they started taking two quarterbacks and two running backs. It was headed in that direction. I don't know that they're looking at it that way right now.
Would any of that change what they're trying to do this year?
Well,
my question.
If Shador looks great in the preseason, maybe all of a sudden, if you have because you got a run game, you have tight ends. You're missing pieces. There's no doubt about that. But you can have a 6, 7, 8, 9 win team.
Well, okay, but if that's with Shador, and let's go 8 wins. Let's say Shador steals the job, right? He goes out there 8 win team. Is that not the best thing that could happen? If he's good, he doesn't have to be great next year, but if he's good.
Right, but that's the opposite of the poison pill is my point.
Okay, but
I'm rooting for Shador to be great, and then that answer's solved.
I think my point is, you put bodies in the room that any one of these guys can theoretically go out there, surprise everybody, and do it. That's not what you plan on. You plan on, I'm going to try and build this thing and see if at any point we see any of these three young quarterbacks. But like, that's the best case scenario. The most likely scenario is Joe probably wins the job. You probably flip flop between quarterbacks. At the end of the year, you get the Jalen Hurts treatment for either Shador or for Dylan Gabriel. I think that's the most likely scenario.
You think Joe wins the job? It's interesting because, well, first off, Joe DeLeon was of the belief that Dylan Gabriel could be traded before you even got to the season, which I thought was interesting and outside the box. I yesterday thought Joe Flacco would be the starter, the same way you're saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It just makes more sense to me now that you throw Kenny Pickett out there if Shador doesn't win the battle and start off right away.
I think Kenny Pickett is the obsolete guy.
I just don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing with Joe Flacco because he's going to offer zero upside.
Well, I mean, I think Joe keeps you competitive. I think Joe gives you a chance to win early in the season. And then if he's putting up good numbers, but you're 2-5, Or 2-5 is a little early, but 2-7, maybe you go, all right, the rest of the season is about Dylan. The thing that I don't love about this is it is setting up for, if one of the rookies doesn't take the job in camp, you will be set up for, we got to find out what we have in those quarterbacks. And that ends up destroying careers at the end of the season, specifically for head coaches, coordinators, and defensive coordinators.
Well, and I think an odd situation the Browns have found themselves in is that if Flacco, let's say, does do the 7-9 game starts, whatever that is, and then the wheels fall off the bus because he's 40 years old and that has a real chance of happening, whoever steps in after that is going to look better. They're going to look good. And then it will be to the point where if it muddies up what you want to do in the 2026 quarterback class, I don't know that that's what the Browns want. The Browns need a definitive answer by the time you get to the end of the season.
I don't know that the Browns think like that. I don't think most teams think like that. I think fans and media think a lot about you have to have definitive answers in one-year silos. It's the best case scenario that you do, but I compare it to, I don't think anyone's made this comparison. To me, if Shador goes out there and you win four games, but Shador's not the reason. Like, he actually looks good, but he doesn't look good enough that he got you over the hump. That's not going to stop you from drafting somebody. And it reminds me of like when San Diego had Drew Brees. Now, Drew played for a little bit longer. I think it was like 3 years. And then they drafted Philip Rivers. And then I think Drew started either 1 or 2 years, then left in free agency, and then Phil took over.
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody stabilizing the quarterback position just enough that if you need them to start next year is actually one of the better situations. Like, oh, you can also make the comparison Gardner Minshew starting for 2 years in Jacksonville before they drafted Trevor Lawrence. Like, that, those, I think, are in the realm of possibilities of things that could happen with the Browns and these quarterbacks.
I mean, the possibilities really are endless, though. That's why I've been telling you it's so much fun to me, though. It's because we do. There's such extremes, high and low, and the lows really aren't that low, all things considered, because if it just flames out and doesn't work out, maybe Dylan Gabriel's your backup for the years to come, and Shador's just a fifth-round pick that you just didn't have to, you don't have to deal with anymore.
Do you agree, by the way, that the Browns are closer to being winners of this draft than losers?
I think they won, yeah.
Yeah.
Is anybody looking at this as losers?
What's been interesting is they've been dinged more for trading down out of two than they have for, like, the Dylan Gabriel thing.
I saw it a little bit differently. I thought at the end of night one, I thought universally people were just praising, maybe not necessarily the move out of two, but the draft and the asset haul that happened. I felt like I was seeing A's everywhere for doing, like, the grading system. And then it felt like as the weekend moved on, by the time we got to the end of it, maybe it was the Gabriel pick, maybe it was, it can't be the Shador Sanders pick because that was just extreme value. But it was the two quarterbacks, two running backs.
Shouldn't that be the kicker? Like getting Shador in the fifth round, if you thought they were a B before that, that
it should put you over the hump.
That should take it like an A plus just for value, whether you like Shador or not.
You'd think so, but what was odd is that at the very end of it, then it felt like then it was more A B territory for a lot of people. Not for me. That's an A draft. I love this draft.
That's not Andrew Berry territory.
That's
not
Andy Baskin or Andrew Berry.
All right,
any of the ABs. Actually, Andy Baskin's the original AB.
In my mind, I think he wants
in my mind
original.
Take that, Andrew Berry.
And Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown's Twitter account. 216.
All in my mind.
474-0092.
Every time Antonio Brown tweets out, I actually think it's Andy Baskin. Little fun fact for you.
Would make it even funnier.
Little fun fact for you.
I kind of wish Andy Baskin tweeted like that.
That'd be really funny.
I must follow. Right? The what of the day there, AB? Jim in Strongsville is called into Acostas. Jim, welcome to the show, buddy.
Good afternoon, fellas. Listen, I cannot stand here. I stand for the Zinter talk that you two are coming up. The guy was coming off of a broken fibula and tibia in the last game of his college career, and you two, we didn't like what we saw. Oh, really? How many guys come off of injury? Major injury, Jeff. Listen, you two are supposed to be undrafted free agents. You made it. This guy's a good draft grade. I just think it's terrible to look at him right now and say, he was terrible. This guy's going to be a road grader. He's going to be a starting guard for this team for the next 10 years. And you two are just like, what? But I didn't see it this year. I don't know.
Jim, was he good last year?
He's coming off of an injury.
Was he good last year?
No. Yeah, you know
Man,
the answer.
Man, you hate when you got to agree with a big fella.
You know the answer.
All right, who's your pick to start the most games this year for the Browns?
Shador. It's got to be Shador.
I think so.
Jim, I just saw Vegas odds for this, by the way. Shador Sanders, the amount of games that he would start, the over-under in Vegas, my friends in the desert, 2.5. I thought that was shockingly low.
I don't even see Joe Flacco making it to the opening day on the opening day roster. He's got the least upside. At least with these other three guys, you've got some upside where you can be like, okay, let's see what we got with these guys. Flacco, he's like an old dude that slings the ball around. He's going to throw as many pick sixes as touchdowns.
Yeah, but he'll actually throw touchdowns, unlike Kenny Pickett. Jim, we got a boogie, buddy, but thank you.
Later, boys.
The Zach Zinter apologist there. Jim from Strongsville. More from you guys in the Peterlin Pass coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. You don't get a lot of victory laps in this business. Friday was my victory lap. It was my bleep you, you're cool, bleep you, I'm out moment.
Yeah.
Today's yours. Like, this is your celebration day. Okay. Your celebration
that's
day.
That's very nice. That sounds fun.
No, I mean, the amount of people.
Where was this convo at 2 o'clock? This should have been the convo at 2.
Well, no, I was warming up to it.
Yeah.
okay. I had to think about myself first.
Listen,
and then
I will let you know I had something massive that was planned. Not massive, but like it would have been a lot of fun, and it fell through in the last minute, and I've been kind of irked by it for a while. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I'm going to use it for another Shador Sanders moment, okay?
All right.
I'm going to use it for another moment in time. If I told you what it is, then it would have just been ruined.
Give it away? You don't want to do that?
I don't want to do that, and you love the element of surprise.
That's true.
And this one, it got blown, and I'm upset by it. I've been upset by it all day long.
Is this like when I told you on your birthday, I wanted to get you a birthday cake,
yes,
and then couldn't follow through on it? So should I just have never told you that?
Well, we've been scrambling for 2 days. It's not like it's a known fact that the Browns were going to take Shador Sanders in the fifth round. My birthday was on the calendar for months.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
I was been there right, for.
But I knew
it's
that,
the same time every single year.
But
like,
I,
it's not. It didn't really sneak up.
I barely remember my birthday anymore.
Didn't really sneak up on anybody. I don't know.
That's on.
I remember your birthday, September 23rd.
That's because 9/23/9/23.
September 23rd.
I made it easy on you. All right, I worked at a station called 92.3 The Fan.
We did a whole convo about me having my birthday on a holiday that really isn't a holiday.
Yeah, which is?
Earth Day. Not a real holiday, but that's what my birthday is.
I still was going to go Arbor Day, and I was here with you on that day.
The same level of holiday.
Can I say what it is now? 4/22. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I remember it now. As you said, I might not remember it this time next year. Or like a week, a couple weeks.
I'm going to get you the biggest spiked ice cream cake you've ever had in your life.
Is it spiked?
No, not spiked. Spiked.
Oh.
As if like, one of those, like, I'm going to look like the good guy getting you the big birthday cake, and it's going to just look awesome.
You know, for that.
And be like, well, geez, where was my cake, Nick? But I won't say it.
For that.
I won't say it. Like, I'll let Mac and Anthony say it instead.
For that to work for me, I'd have to have, what's it called?
Diabetes?
Shame.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I already got the beats.
Okay.
There's only one man with the knowledge to criticize and the power to let it slide. It's time for this week's Peterlin Pass.
I like going into the Peterlin Pass with the beats. By the way,
I also like that we're coming off pure Peterlin spite, whatever that would be, right into the Peterlin Pass.
Yeah, well, one person earned the Peterlin Pass over the weekend, and, you know, the idea of the Peterlin Pass is basically me giving them a pass for something that I felt was inbounds and the whole world did not feel was inbounds, essentially. Mel Kiper Jr., come on down. You've deserved and you've earned the Peterlin Pass. We had Joe DeLeon on at 4 o'clock, and I asked him, what about the draft community? The draft community that said Shador Sanders was something while the NFL world said he was nothing. Nobody was willing to stick to their guns the way that Mel Kiper Jr. was willing to stick to his guns. And for that, I think he deserves the Peterlin Pass.
I mean, listen, you co-opted 3 days of NFL coverage with a public temper tantrum because you like Deion Sanders. Or you're part of the Sanders camp.
It was the idea. It's not part of the – he's got too much draft integrity to ever be part of the Deion camp, and you know
integrity.
That. He is the godfather of the draft. You don't get that by being bought off by Deion Sanders. Come on now. Put some respect on his name.
I will not. I believe he was Shabbat and paid for.
He is the godfather of the draft. He's been doing this for 40 years. He's been drafting, all weekend.
He's been
drafting players longer than anyone in the NFL that makes these picks has been doing their job.
And yet he's never actually made a draft pick.
He's been making them for 40 years.
Yeah. Okay.
And we've been judging these picks for 40 years.
Them. No. He's been analyzing players and then telling teams what to do. And then conveniently.
These GMs, they have so many other responsibilities, right? You got to.
Yeah, like building a team.
It's more than just the draft.
Pleasing an owner.
Mel Kiper starts the 2026 mock draft this morning.
Yeah.
That man has dedicated his life to this.
He's going to look to the 2026 real draft.
He has earned 3 days worth of, I don't understand what the bleep is going on. I need everyone to understand how dumb this is, how silly it is that he's fallen all the way to the fifth round, and I need to speak about it.
I'm going to tell you right now, Mel Kiper no longer has a fastball.
Mel. You've earned it, Mel.
This,
you and your hairspray deserve more of a pick than half this league.
This Mel Kiper would have made so much more compelling. This the 1994 Mel Kiper that got the Colts GM to say, who in the hell is Mel Kiper anyways? He would have done it in such a different way. Young Mel Kiper.
Mac, were you born when that clip existed?
No.
Exactly the point. That's how long Mel Kiper has been taking all sorts of flack. and all sorts of arrows in his direction for the amount of scouting ability that he has.
The helmet is gone. He should just shave his head. He's lost his helmet. He's lost his fastball. Like, let's just be honest here. The man's at the end of the rope. That was an embarrassing ploy by him. Oh, Dion.
He's got to stick to his guns. Had to stick to his guns. If you believe the draft evaluation process is all charlatans to begin with anyway, then it would have been really awkward for the head charlatan to lay down his sword and be like, I guess we missed it.
No. You can say.
I guess the NFL owners and the GMs, they are right.
Every conversation.
They are smarter than me. No way.
It was every conversation.
No way. Can't do it.
The circular thought of Mel Kiper would be like, all right, with the 33rd pick, the Browns take a German linebacker. And why hasn't Shador been taken?
40 years in the NFL of him evaluating and diagnosing and dissecting
with
these
no
players.
Culpability,
his,
with no culpability.
His brain couldn't comprehend the idea that anyone wanted to have a conversation about the 12th safety that he broke down for 3 months straight.
No. The point is, Mel Kiper's not on the clock like every GM or every head coach is. So if we keep throwing 40 years out there, no, he threw a public temper tantrum. It was embarrassing, and honestly, it made ESPN's already unbearable coverage.
He had
no choice. Could Booger McFarland do a little prep before doing the NFL draft? Could we get somebody other than Mike Greenberg, please?
It's always Greenberg.
It has been. It didn't used to always be, and ever since they went to Mike Greenberg.
Wasn't it Berman before it was Greenberg?
It was absolutely
back,
Berman.
Back. This pick is gone.
At this point, I'd rather go back to Chris Berman and his geriatric self than watch Mike Greenberg. Oh, I have to read a WWE thing, but I don't like wrestling, so I'm going to mispronounce. John Cena here with a tribute.
Well, at least Berman would give you jokes.
Like,
Berman had jokes. He was sometimes, you know, he was drunk.
But no.
He was gone.
Leather.
He was halfway. He was gone. I like Berman.
I cannot do it with Mel. Listen, I actually do like and respect Mel. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, honestly.
Should be.
Which is something we talked about.
Because he's been doing it so long.
There's a way to do things, and there's a way not to do things. So,
this was the year he had to do this.
For 3 days?
Because if not, it would have been no one would take him seriously moving forward ever again.
He was a babbling.
He had to defend.
And he had to showcase
how dumb he thinks the NFL is right now and how dumb he thinks the people in charge of the NFL are for how they let the shit drop happen.
Listen, if he just did it once an hour, fine. If he did it once a so-and-so, it was everything. He and Lewis Riddick got into an argument about who was a bigger Shador homer.
It was like good theater.
That was the good theater, my tuchus.
It was good theater.
Good theater, my tuchus.
Mel, you've earned the Peter Wynn pass.
Mel,
congratulations.
You something all down your leg there. Do a little bit better next year. If there is a next year. We all agree, right?
Putting them out to pasture now?
They did it to Berman, and no one's safe. One more inch of forehead we lose here. There's not going to be nothing left there.
Are you saying he needs some help? Maybe send him to Turkey?
Either that or we just gave him a rug. But get an exact replica of his old dome made where it's like that luscious hairline that went right above his eyebrows. Yeah, if you're going to do it right, I say.
It'd be an odd look, man. Mel Kiper shaved. It's giving me the scaries right now.
Shaved head. Let's be more specific.
Then. Yeah, well, I can't speak to other parts.
That also be a weird look.
Also, it'd be a weird transition for Mel in his late career.
Or, you know what? Set yourself free.
Would you rather see him do that or do the draft next season?
I'd rather see the full Monty.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the full Mel, as we're going to call it. The lead coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
The Peterlin Pass.